Let's get this show on the road.
Because if Weird's going to start talking about sassy ladies of color, I'm going to record it.
Yeah.
But enough about Maxine Waters.
Oh, isn't she a gift that keeps on giving? Are we recording now?
Yes.
Oh, hello, Internet. And I would like to lead off with some condolences, Alan. I'm sorry for your loss. I know you and Hugh Hefner went to high school together. And so,
yeah, he was a couple of grades behind me.
Oh. Oh man, you took that and ran with it. Thank you very much, Alan. Good play. Oh, the Hef.
So yeah, somebody had a really good comment about that. Hugh Hefner is probably the only guy that they can't say he's gone to a better place. Although, have you seen the pictures coming out of the Playboy Mansion?
No.
Jeez, oh fuck, it looks like fucking Detroit.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, like they're showing a swimming pool and it's like it's drained, covered in graffiti with a couch in it. I mean, it.
What?
Yo, okay. You remember the movie Chappie?
Went downhill, like. Huh?
Chappie, yeah. Oh my God.
I'm not kidding.
Wow.
Oh, you know what? If I look up a picture on my computer, I can't paste it into my iPad for the chat. It doesn't work.
You cannot
way.
Do that. It does not. It does not stay in your finger and then transmit to another device.
Actually, if you had a Mac, it would work fine because they have this handoff thing that works really well.
Okay, shut up, Alan.
I don't have a Mac. I have a 6-year-old HP.
Well.
That mysteriously just keeps chugging along just fine.
Well, it is an HP.
It's like,
what are you talking about? The Packard Hells, all they do is just catch on fire and die.
That's a different company.
Yeah, Packard Bell is different than
completely different company.
HP is the company that Carla Fiorino drove into the ground.
Right.
Yeah, this one is like the Plymouth Valiant. It's just it's too ugly and too underpowered to kill itself.
now we're talking K cars.
No, not K cars.
Well, the Valiant wasn't a K car.
No, K car started with the Reliant and the Aries. Oh, the Valiant was the slant six, the
Jay,
really ugly one.
I am sorry you wasted brain space on that information.
Oh, well, I made a joke that so Harvard University has a server farm that they use for like massive, you know, massive data crunching. So if you have like a huge like data set to run through, like, I mean, our lab was running it off of like patients in the hospital that agreed to that their data could be used for future research. And so like when you're going to be like examining like 100 variables over like, you know, like a 500, you know, 500,000 patients, it's going to take a lot of computing power. So we just booked time with the Harvard server, and their server farms were all named after different musical instruments. They called it like the symphony. And I decided that we needed to create our own server farm and we needed to name them all after different K car platforms.
I thought you were going to say your server was the kazoo.
No. Just a server farm platform where they're all named after different K cars. Because it's a pretty extensive platform. You got stuff like the Dodge Daytona was a K car, and the stretch one in the stretch.
That is one giant nerd Vin crossover disaster.
Yeah. What nobody wants to remember is that the Charger was a K car for a while.
Oh, was there some weird in between Charger after they?
Yes, there was.
Did they have a Chevy Nova 2 version of the Charger?
Yes, there were three. There have been three, and they've radically changed every time. You know, the muscle car from the 70s, of course, the coupe with the, you know, ridiculously over large engine.
Yep.
In the late 70s, early 80s, it was basically a Dodge Omni.
Huh.
Only instead of having the little squat four-door body, it had a two-door body with a hatchback. My uncle actually had a couple of them. And Carroll Shelby had a Shelby package for one of them.
Oh, so he made the Shelby Charger as well as the Shelby Omni?
Yep, the 2.2 liter Charger, Carroll Shelby Charger from the 80s.
2.2 liter.
Yes, turbocharged.
Wow.
He must have.
I can't believe he was agreeing. They must have paid him a shitload of money to.
They drove a dump truck full of money up to his house.
I don't know. I mean,
and we are boring Breida to death.
The Omni was kind of cool in how fucked up it was.
Breida's looking at nail polish or something.
I'm not actually.
No.
I was looking at lists of banned books because this was banned book week.
Oh.
By the way, guess Breida, how do you feel about banned book week? Because overall,
I think it's archaic.
I find it like really smug too, because it's one of those.
Well, sure, it's smug, but it's also archaic, because if you want a book, you can download it.
Yep.
Well, also,
it's literally like no one is stopping you. Thank God for the internet.
They don't ban books in this country.
Well, here's the thing.
One side does, and it isn't the side everyone thinks.
No, that's true. Here's the thing that happens is that we don't ban books, and we don't ban books, but there are books that are contested as far as like, should the library have this book? And, you know, parents are concerned about libraries having this book because kids might have access to this book and, you know, that sort of thing. That is mainly the deal with banned books is that some parents group will have concerns about a certain book being in the collection because their kids could go to the library potentially and check it out or read it in the stacks or whatever. And it's usually sex, you know, like 50 Shades of Grey. Oh my God.
You think they'd be happy their little urchins are actually reading.
Well, there is that, but
To be fair, the parents that want to ban books really don't have aren't literate themselves and don't have literate children.
But the thing that I've seen more often, not recently, because my supervisor at the reference desk is, she voted for Trump. But anyway, my previous supervisor.
She admits that?
Yeah. She's the one who she was pro Trump before I decided to vote for him. I know, it's surprising, right?
Oh God, I'm so upset that you've got a much more of a story to tell, because that's a perfect segue, but we'll get back to that.
Okay. So my previous supervisor before the one that I have now, she used to just not order books that she didn't think were good.
Yep, for suitable.
Since this was years ago, but Michelle Malkin came out with a book, and it was like on the bestsellers list. And I had people requesting this book, and I would go in the catalog, and I'd see that we didn't have that book. We didn't own it. Our particular library, because we're in a library consortium, our particular library did not own this book. And I would say to my manager, why don't we own this book? It's on the bestsellers list. People are requesting it. Oh, I didn't think that was any good. it's not up to you.
Who's eating?
But that's not me.
Jay.
I'm pouring a soda. Sorry.
But that's usually how banned books go. You know, it's selective collection development, or it's parents, you know, concerned their kid might read about sex, or you know, whatever. But
Tom Sawyer, Huck Finn,
right.
Words in a Row.
But saying, I mean, I love
independent
the internet
thought.
Because you can just go on the internet and download pretty much any book you want.
Yeah, you can,
including the Anarchist Cookbook.
yeah, sure. And nobody can tell you no. And it's a beautiful thing. So, banned books week, you know, read a banned book that was banned 100 years ago or something, because it doesn't apply now.
Or by some other place.
Right.
But really, yeah, what you should do, especially if you voted for Hillary Clinton, is you should read 1984. And I would say you would have like a big aha moment of, wow, she's really fucking dumb, but you voted for Hillary, you probably won't understand it. You might as well just read the Korean section of your stereo instructions.
Stereo? Who has those anymore?
So, Breida.
Yeah.
You just mentioned that you voted for Trump.
Yep.
And I believe you might have admitted that you possess a bajingo.
What?
A hoo-ha.
Yes.
You are cis female.
I'm female.
Did you know, you're not sure if you're cis or not? Know that our former first lady, the smartest first lady in the history of ever, said that that you were betraying yourself and not voting for who you wanted?
Oh. Well, actually, she kind of has a point there. Because I really was not voting for Trump. And I had this issue, like, right up until I was standing in the ballot box. I was standing at the voting machine. And I was standing there, and I stared at the machine for the longest time, thinking, oh, shit, what am I going to do? Because I kind of had this, like, should I vote Libertarian? Because that was an option. Or, but I had, like, a come-to-Jesus moment. And I thought, okay, I live in Ohio. My vote really matters. And what do we really want to see happen? I want Hillary to lose. Because she is a lying sack of shit. So I voted for Trump. So far, I have not regretted it. I think he's all right. I'm like, okay, let's go with this guy. But
he's surprising me. I'll say that.
He's not awful.
I expected him to be a lot fucking worse.
Me too. He's not awful, and it could be a lot worse. And he's actually doing things that, like, I'm okay with. And he's really, for all the media hoopla, he's really kind of running under the radar as far as, like, the stuff he's actually doing.
And he is absolutely ruining the lives of some really horrible, horrible people.
Right. Bravo.
I mean, that's one of those, as much as I don't like Donald Trump, the people that are, like, just writhing in the streets and just utter agony and just grinding their teeth down to the gum line, just every second of every day that he's in the White House. You know what? They're way worse. And again, I just think about the fact that had 8 years of Obama, didn't much care for him, but you know what? Unlike them, I'm a grown up. And I just went, yeah, he's the president, not the king. It's okay. We'll get through this. Yes. Yes. He can do some horrible stuff and do some stupid stuff, but you know, I mean, that's like, I guess I could say that's one of my complaints about Trump is, well, actually, no, because he's actually, some people are like, you know, getting pissed at him for like, for his, like, some of his immigration stuff and for the Dreamer Act or whatever the hell that crappy, you know, Obama thing is. He was, you know, how he punted it down to, you know, punted it to Congress to take care of. And, you know, someone's like, oh, that shows weakness. He's ignoring that. But I'm like, no. Because he could just make it go away with a stroke of the pen. And then the next time we have a commie in the White House, they can make it go away. And it's just, when one side's in, this is the law. And when the other side's in, this is the law. And it just is going to go back and forth forever. But if he actually gets Congress to write a law, that is infinitely harder to get rid of.
Well, I think that's what pissed him off the most.
I wanted to get back to the Michelle Obama thing.
Yes, do that.
Please.
Because that was the original topic. Let me just get back to that. She implies that all women should vote as she votes, or as liberal women vote, or as Hillary votes.
She's saying, quite frankly, I've got the quote right here. Quite frankly, now I'm not going to be able to get the smugness right. So for those of you listening at home, go to TuneIn Radio and find four random NPR stations in three random states. Like, specifically, one needs to be in California, one needs to be in Illinois, one needs to be in Rhode Island. There's got to be a Rhode Island NPR station. Turn all those NPR stations on and put them on max volume while you listen to me. Quite frankly, we saw this election, as far as I'm concerned, any woman who voted against Hillary Clinton voted against their own voice. What does this mean for us as women? That we took a look at these two candidates, and many of us said, that guy, he's better for me. His voice is more true to me. Which, I mean, yes, he is, because he's not a truthful guy. He's not the most honest person on earth, but he's also not the most dishonest person on the fucking planet who will say, I was under a sniper fire in Bosnia when there were fucking television cameras going. Like, you can roll back the tape and it shows that no, that didn't happen. We have it well documented that did not happen.
I think she was drunk, though.
No,
you know, but come on.
Brian Williams was there, and he said it. He said he saw it.
I was there.
But at least Brian Williams, he's like the reporter, so he's not doing like a live shot and saying, "Look, there's a body going down Canal Street, and you see that, you know, there's just a homeless person peeing on Canal Street, and there's a little bit of urine in the gutter, you know." You know, he's doing like the report where it's one of those like, oh, no, I know that I'm the only person here. Meanwhile, she's going to like a internationally covered event. And, you know, with thousands of witnesses. And you know, and she's claiming something that didn't happen that would have been a major international incident. Actually, there's a guy that lives in Maine who was the commander of that base. Colonel Dave Hunt was the commander of that base. And he is so pissed off at that because, like, she's right out saying, Hey, Colonel Hunt, you do a shitty job. You suck at providing security for diplomats.
Is that guy Mike, his brother?
Alan.
Oh, that's not a dad joke. That doesn't count for those of you reaching for your drink. That a cunt joke does not count.
Hey, that's a classic Simpsons call prank.
I don't think they ever used Michael Hunt.
I don't think Mike Hunt ever made it into the there. But yeah, Hillary
alcoholic.
But back on topic. But Michelle Obama was not saying she wants people to vote like she votes. I mean, she is saying that because she's Michelle Obama and she's the smuggest person on the fucking, Hillary is the most dishonest person on the planet. And Michelle Obama is the smuggest person on the planet. And of course she's going, you know, she wants everyone to vote like she votes because she's right. And anyone who disagrees with her is wrong, but she is openly saying that you need to vote for Hillary because your parts match.
Right.
The
only reason to vote for Hillary is because your parts match.
I think that means they're assuming my gender.
Also, we're assuming that Hillary's something. Got parts.
She's not a lizard person.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a funny.
You know,
she hatched Chelsea.
They use gender so conveniently. Let me just put it that way. You know, you're a woman if your parts match, or I don't even know at this point. It's offensive.
They've got their gazillion and one genders, because some of them are, someday I'm a boy and someday as I'm a girl.
It's offensive that just because I am a certain gender, I have to vote a certain way. It's like, it's every, what is it? The thing that is important to women specifically is abortion, apparently, according to liberals. Abortion rights is like, you know, number one in their, you know, hierarchy of needs. Every woman should support abortion because they can't keep their legs closed or.
Yes.
Women should support abortion because the misogynist men want to have sex with them and condoms feel yucky.
Right.
And they don't want to pay, and they don't want to pay child support.
Right.
They would rather foot the bill for an abortion, but really let's face it. They could just walk away. If you're deeply indoctrinated liberal enough, you know, any pregnancy you don't inherently plan, just kill it.
And that's not to mention the whole racist aspect of abortion, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, racist and like the... I mean, it was one of those like, oh, shoot, I forget. It was one of the Scandinavian countries.
Sweden.
Was it Sweden was saying, oh, yeah, no, we don't have any Down syndrome. Why? Because any
baby... I think it was Iceland, actually.
It was the Netherlands, too. They're doing the same thing.
Well, yeah. Great Britain is doing the same thing. And frankly, you know, I talked to parents of children who were born with the same birth defect as I was. And I mean, you've all met me. It's just my legs. It's not my brain. It's not my heart. It's not, I mean, I'm fine. I'm missing part of my leg, but I'm fine. Right?
Yep.
Very fine.
Thank you, Jay. But one of the first suggestions a lot of these doctors give to the expecting parents is, you know, you're not that far along. You can have an abortion.
Oh, yeah. They counsel that for
children
everything.
Who are exactly like I am. And so it's, you know, it's like this is what liberal feminism is about. And so for Michelle Obama to say, well, you're voting against yourself. And that's what this whole Women's March thing was after Trump got elected. That's what the whole Women's March pussy hat thing that they had after it was like a temper tantrum. Let's be honest. It was a temper tantrum.
That's all it was. I mean, because
that's all it was about. They're not going to be able to kill their babies.
There were pro-life people there. It was the biggest waste because if an event that big, because they had a massive march in Washington, and then on top of that, they had a bunch of ginormous marches in just about every major city. There was a huge one here in Boston. They were all over the place. And they were very peaceful. There were very few complaints about them. Like, I didn't see any posts on them, you know, littering up the place. Like, it sounds like they did it all perfectly right up until the point of the, what was your fucking message?
Yeah.
Because what? There was Moms Demand Action was in there. They were saying, oh, we're up against Trump because Trump is, you know, is the NRA endorsed candidate. And we talked about the Jewish people that are like, I'm Jewish and I don't like the fact that Trump's an anti-Semite, when it's almost like his grandkid is Jewish. His son-in-law, was Jared Kushner in a cabinet position? I don't actually know what he was doing.
He's White House advisor.
Yeah. So it's one of those like, his fucking family is Jewish and he's lived his entire life in New York.
Yeah.
It's one of those things of the, I've met my, like the only like hardcore, like racists I've met, like anti-black racists have been in Maine, because guess what? They've never seen one. Like down south, I've met some people that are, you know, a little dodgy on the whole race thing, but they're just a little dodgy because overall they're like, oh, no. You know, they may have some problems with some black people, but Johnny over there, Johnny's a good guy. Look at him. He's out there on the fishing boat working hard. Yeah. Yeah. Cause he's a fucking person. There's shitheads in every group and that has nothing to do with race. But like, I've met some seriously racist Mainers because they've never seen a black person, because there aren't that many black. Up until very recently, there were like no black people in Maine.
Well, now there's Lewiston, Auburn.
Yes. And Portland. Portland's got a lot of Somalis, yeah, too.
Because, you know,
when it comes to black people in Maine, it's not African Americans. It's Africans.
I love the brainiac decision. We've got people coming from, you know, the desert in Africa. Let's stuff them in Maine. What?
The brainiac decision was the, where can we get good benefits?
Somalia.
Well, there's also, you got to understand, you understand how the refugee system works. The federal, the reason we get clumps of refugees like that is because there are sponsoring organizations that get paid by the federal government for every refugee that they bring in and, quote, take care of.
So who sponsored this? L.L. Bean?
And then when you've got a few of them, I mean, the neighborhood, the last place I lived in Maine was a neighborhood in Portland that was, there were three white families on that neighborhood. Everybody else was Somali. There was a halal market at the end of the street. It was a fully set up community that was all set for them. So once you get a bunch of people in there, because the same thing, like here in Boston, I've got a bunch of friends who are Cape Verdeans, and it's the same idea. It's one of those, like, you're from a tropical island off the coast of Africa. What the fuck do you want to come to Boston for? And they all came to Boston because they've got a bunch of family members and a bunch of people there. So they can, like, step off the plane in Boston and they've got a place to stay with someone that they know. And the people are all speaking their language. And that's, I don't blame them. But it's, the question is, what about the first bunch of Cape Verdeans that decided to come to a cold, shitty part of America?
Well, because they had some sponsor that brought them in and got paid a shitload of money. And it's not chump change. There are companies making millions and millions of dollars off of this refugee stuff.
Isn't that great?
Yep.
Because that's definitely an industry we need to have.
Yeah, it's actually pretty bad. It's like they always complained about the military industrial complex. This is the refugee, the refugee complex, and they're the ones out there banging. They make all these sob. Oh, these poor refugees! You can't turn the refugees away. Oh, we must take them in. And they never tell you that the reason they want to bring all these refugees in addition to hoping they'll all vote Democrat, is the government pays millions of dollars. I forget what the head count is, but it's thousands of dollars per each one that comes in. And the money does not go to the refugee. The money goes to the organization sponsoring the refugee. It's a complete scam.
Oh, good times.
So.
All right. Well, haven't beaten that one to death.
Yeah.
So. I guarantee, Brady, you don't watch the football, do you? Is Brady there?
I'm here. I'm sorry. I had to mute you. No, I didn't. I do not watch the football. The most I've seen of sports is at the bar.
Yeah.
On mute. That's better.
And Alan, I believe we have you on quote on either this podcast or the other one, pointing out that all sports are boring to watch.
Yes.
So yeah. And we all know that I'm just the nerdiest of nerd face nerds. I follow politics. That's my sit down and eat popcorn and watch an event go down. Is I watched the Alabama primary going, oh, this is kind of cool. This has zero implication to me whatsoever, but I'm going to watch it. So that leads Jay, also known as Jockey McJockerson.
Jockey McJockface.
That's right.
Yeah, that's probably the most frightening thing, that I'm probably the most sports person on this podcast. Yes.
The man who has more has more Star Trek related shit hanging off his Christmas tree than Jesus related shit. celebrating neither the Christian holiday nor the appropriated pagan holiday. No, instead we're going to celebrate the fleet of Starship Enterprises.
To be fair, I also have a large number of car and motorcycle related ornaments. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not a sports person.
Actually been to Fenway Park.
Do you watch the footballs?
I try not to. I really don't.
I have
even before this nonsense.
I've been to a few football and baseball and hockey games.
You were getting paid though.
But I've never paid. Yeah. Either I was being paid to be there or somebody else was paying, or I was, you know, using somebody's box up in the nosebleed section or
box.
Yeah. I'm totally, I'm like, yeah, in fact, the last time somebody asked me if I wanted to go to a game, there actually was a box involved. And I was like, do I get a parking pass too? And they're like, no, you got to pay for parking. I was like, no, thanks.
That's to you.
I'll
watch occasionally, but basically it's because it allows me to spend time with my son. My son he got all the sports genes. I think it skipped a generation. Because my dad's a sports guy. My dad's one of those guys that, like, if there is no other competition on television, he will watch tractor pulls just because it's a competition.
I'll watch tractor pulls. Now, that's an entertaining sport. I love tractor pulls.
You can take the boy out of Maine, but you can't take Maine out of the boy.
I like boxing.
Yeah, tractor
pulls.
Why don't they have Demolition Derby on ESPN?
Now that would be worth watching.
That is a sport that is fun to watch.
You know what? We saw a documentary and they did it's a documentary and they have like a demolition derby, but with school buses.
Ooh.
I've seen that, but you know what I'd like to see even more?
What?
Smart car demolition derby.
Oh no.
and at the very end, they face Breeders' car. Punt.
Oh, easy smart cars go flying across the street.
School bus demolition derby. That seems like, I mean, so much of the school bus is just empty sheet metal.
You have to look for the documentary. It is really good, actually. Okay. And it's crazy.
Is it about a school bus demolition derby?
Yeah. Like, and the people search who
demolition derby?
Yeah. It's specifically school buses and the people who do this thing. It's very interesting.
Is anything like Top Gear where they raced cars pulling travel trailers? Because that was awesome. I'm not going to lie. They're going around courses and these travel trailers are just falling apart.
Is it the last car running? Is last car running? Is that the one you're talking about? Or no,
this
is
a
1982 Demolition Derby.
No.
Hey, come on, Google school bus demolition derby. It can't be that hard.
I didn't do school bus.
Well, you have to look for school bus. It's specific.
Look at that. School bus demo pulls up demolition derby. Yeah.
Documentary smash.
Smash. Yes, it's in Florida, of course. Derby,
2015 right. Big Butler Fair.
Yep.
It is an annual event popular with the children. It is also a game you can get for the Android.
Of course.
I may have to get an Android phone just for this.
Nice. I got to say, there's a whole, like, the whole side thing of people buying school buses for cheap. Like, I knew a guy who did drag racing. and his tow car.
How did he learn how to run in heels?
Oh, Jesus. That's a dad joke. That's a dad joke. There's your dad joke you were looking for. But he would tow his truck because it obviously is, you know, the car he was racing is not street legal. So he would trailer that and tow the trailer with a school bus. And the school bus, he had taken out all the rear seats and put his workbenches in there so he could do all the repair work in a little workshop. It he could probably sleep in there too and all that, but like converted the school bus into a little mobile workshop/tow rig. Kind of cool. Yeah.
There's a whole subset of the RV community where there's people that have converted school buses.
Yep. There's so many of them.
The big thing with school buses though, is they're a lot like cop cars. They don't get rid of them unless there's a reason. And that reason is generally the transmission is dragging on the ground behind it.
Yeah.
Or the engine has actually physically been jettisoned from the frame.
Yeah, they're so worn out they can't fix them. But if you're buying
a school bus as a shell, you know how to turn some wrenches and know how to do some magic.
Yeah.
You're looking for a problem, because if you're not looking for a problem, you're just going to go to a Winnebago dealership. Like, go to the used section. There's retirees dying every day.
Nice.
I hadn't thought about that. That's a good.
I want to watch the school bus demolition derby.
Yeah, I kind of do too. I think I'll watch that after the show.
Yeah,
it's great.
I wonder if they have like ringers, and there's a greyhound in the middle of all.
Hey, the Jay?
Greyhound wouldn't be fair.
Yes, Alan.
Excuse me.
Whoa!
Did you see the Aston Martin submarine?
I did not.
No, it was a Lotus submarine. It was in what was that? Was that Diamonds Are Forever?
No. Oh yes.
No, this is a real thing.
Really?
Yeah. Aston Martin has announced a submersible.
Oh, this is like legit.
Legit. $200,000.
There's a video from like Florida where you see a Bugatti Veyron just driving down the road, and the guy just runs it into the lake.
No, this is not.
You know what's hilarious? When you type in Aston Martin submarine, like the first few images are in Google image searches are of Roger Moore's Lotus. Lotus Esprit submarine.
It's not an Aston. It's not a Martin. It's not even close.
It's British.
It actually looks kind of cool.
Now
you have to Google it.
It does look kind of cool.
As we
all live in an Aston Martin submarine.
Oh Jesus, really?
Aston Martin has unveiled a $4 million submarine.
$4 million?
The Verge. Isn't that like super leftist? Oh, it's part of Bloomberg. That's why. It looks like a frog. It looks like a frog on a small boat.
Yeah, the pictures, I'm not getting enough images from it to actually see how it works.
It looks like a frog partially inspired.
But the short answer is, so you think you want a submarine. You don't fucking want a submarine.
Yeah.
All boats can be like, submarines once. Well,
and also, let's face it, it's one of those, like, there's the old saying, and there's Jay, you can back me up on this. Jay, what are the two happiest days for a boat owner?
The day you buy the boat and the day you sell the boat.
Yep. Is just one of those like, yeah, you think you need a submarine? No, you don't need a submarine. You think you need a boat? You don't need a boat.
You know what the definition?
I miss my boat.
You know what the definition of a boat is? It's a hole in the water
that you pour money into.
Throw money.
Well, you know a submarine's got to be even like more.
Oh yeah.
Well, I mean, even better is a submarine is a boat that can go underwater and is the worst motherfucking boat on the goddamn planet when it's not underwater.
You know what? For $4 million, I bet you can buy a nice diesel electric from China.
I've seen Chinese aircraft carriers. I don't know if I'd go underwater with.
Hey, they have a ski jump on the front.
I bet for 20 grand you could buy one for the cartels.
Yeah, you probably could. It'd probably run better.
Speaking of which, you would not want to buy one from the cartels because those are submarines, but they are really just boats that are almost submarines. They don't. They're kind of like the Huntley. They don't fully submerge.
Right. Yeah.
They stay right near the surface because they're diesel powered and they're always they don't have electric engines like your World War II ones. So they always have to snorkel. So they really kind of have the conning tower above the surface at all times. But that's a low enough profile that the Coast Guard can't pick them up on radar, and that's all they need.
Hey, Brita.
But a boat that's almost completely underwater.
What?
Yep.
What?
You want to talk about your...
No.
Nice. Well played, Brita.
She doesn't want to play.
Doesn't want to talk about anything.
Because she's a betrayer of her sex. Michelle Obama said
no,
so.
No, I was gonna bring up the closing the schools for a shooting that was nowhere near it.
Really?
Yeah, they had a...
Hang on one second. Yeah,
okay. We'll wait. Apparently there's
I blame the cats.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. Cat issue. No, actually, it's a mic issue.
He's
upstairs and he's there's two things. He's upstairs and he's listening to music.
Oh.
On his Kindle Fire, right? And so it's sucking up all the internet.
Oh.
And the Skype is cutting out every other word. So I'm like getting like part of the conversation that's happening. But
that explains why Bria's been sounding so annoyed. It's not something I did.
No, the second thing is that he's right above me in the bedroom and he's tapping his foot and he's the world's he's the world's worst sense of rhythm.
Steve Martin style. I was
bored of him. And so and so he's like the tapping is okay. Anyway,
is he doing the Elaine dance, the full body dry heave?
I don't know. I had to walk upstairs and say, "Could you not?" Trying to do something here.
You had 20 more minutes to not have fun, and then you could have a little tiny bit of fun.
You could have a party up there. I don't care.
And then you will be beaten and sent to bed.
So. So there was a shootout.
Yes, we had a shooting,
which is unremarkable except that it was near Brita.
Yeah,
yeah. The remarkable thing was,
well, okay, so we had a shooting in Wilby Hills, which is technically a different city than I'm in. I'm in Willoughby. Wilby Hills is kind of like a separate city. I think they're the same school district. Technically, but there's a different zip code. Anyway,
is it one of those? It's one of those like fancy areas that doesn't.
Yeah. It's like their sign says Willoughby Hills, where the city meets the country, and it's like you're not country, you know. But everybody's or building city. Like the McMansions and stuff in Willoughby Hills. They think they're special, and it used to be the country. It legitimately used to be the country. My mom grew up in Willoughby Hills, and it was just all farms around her when she grew up, but now it's in hills. Yeah.
Good figure.
But anyway, so apparently there was a shooting at the BMW dealership in Willoughby Hills. And, two policemen got shot and the suspect also got shot. They're all in stable condition. So yay. But, so I was reading a news article about, because the details really are not clear about what happened yet, but it's like the big shooting in Willoughby Hills. It's like a big deal because it's probably the first shooting ever in Willoughby Hills, but they had the shooting at the car dealership and then they closed down they put all the schools on lockdown.
Of course they did.
Even like Willoughby South High School, which is over 4 miles away from the car dealership. So I'm trying to understand why.
Would you like me to explain, Brita? Why
would they do that? Yes.
The school lockdown is the 21st century version of Alan playing duck and cover when he was in school.
Yeah.
Oh.
It is like hiding under your desk because the Ruskies are nuking us is the biggest piece of shit ever. Same with the us locking down the school because there's a bad guy with a gun. It's the somewhere worst thing in the city. Ever, but it gives the appearance of doing something.
Wow.
Though to be fair, if the Ruskies decided, I mean, even right now, because it's not like they still don't have nukes. If the Ruskies started lobbing nukes at us, either you're going to live or you're going to die. That's really kind of the end of the story of it. Like if it hits near you, you're probably going to die. And that's going to be the end of it. Doesn't matter if you've got a fallout shelter. Doesn't matter if you've got, 1,000 years of canned goods. Doesn't matter if you've got a desk to hide under, you're probably going to die. If there's a school shooter, if by chance you decided to not do any of the horse shit that they prescribe, then it actually, number one, there probably wouldn't be a school shooting where you were. And number two, you'll probably live but instead we've got to do the stuff where it makes us feel better, but more people will die.
Hmm.
And there'll be more school shootings.
Well, by all means, everybody has to feel better.
Well, everyone has to feel better. And by there being more school shootings, that's a feature, not a bug.
Sure. Cause you can take guns away from them. Cousin hump and flyover idiots.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's one of those, look at like Michael Bloomberg's groups are releasing stuff like saying that there's been 14 gazillion. I don't even know what, like, they've actually kind of backed off on it a little bit because people have called them out on it enough. But like they would say, like, there's been 14 gazillion school shootings since this year. And people are like, wait a second. No. Like, there's, you know, like one kid brings a gun to school and the teachers catch him with it. It's national news. Like, he doesn't even fucking pull the trigger. It might not even be loaded. And it's national news. And yet you're trying to say that there was one last week that I didn't hear about. I don't think so. But they're trying to inflate that because guess what? They need it.
They also have a very loose definition of school. They count any shooting within, you know, a fudgy distance from a school as a school. Yes. Shooting.
If two rival drug dealers get into a shootout with each other, you know, near, you know, in the same like block that a school's in, that's a school shooting.
Right.
The thing that I worry about is that they're having these lockdowns. I mean, they have a shooting at the car dealership 4 miles away from the schools, and they're having these lockdowns. It's like the kid who cried wolf, really.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at a certain point, the kids are not going to be taking this shit seriously.
No, and they never are. I mean, we never took fire drills serious.
No, that was a joke.
Because guess what? Like,
did any of you have to do tornado drills?
Oh, yeah.
No.
No.
No?
No.
Not in New England.
Oh.
Yeah, we had New to England do. New
England. I guess not.
Like, there's actually been a couple of tornadoes in New England, and they're all quote-unquote, like air quotes, tornadoes. No one's actually confirmed whether they were tornadoes or not. There's been...
Or just a big wind.
There's been, like, it could be a microburst and all that. I mean, I saw a water spout on Lake Champlain. That was kind of cool.
Yeah, I guess there was.
It showed up for like 60 seconds. It was there. It was absolutely a motherfucking water spout, and then it dissipated.
Mm.
But, you know, but that's how it works. It doesn't it doesn't destroy trailer parks. Meth heads destroy the trailer parks.
Reverting to the NFL thing real quick.
Speaking of meth heads,
Brita, you'll be happy to know that
thrilled, I'm sure.
Yes, you'll be thrilled. Cleveland businessman Alan Jones has become the first advertiser to pull his advertising from the NFL.
What is it? What does he sell?
He sells clothes. He's a big, apparently he owns Hardwick clothing brand.
Never heard of him.
Well, apparently all the NBC on-air talent during the football games wears suits from him, and he has pulled his apparently they make them in, it's a Cleveland business, and he's pulled all his advertising and support from the NFL.
I saw that Dish Network has added an addendum to the policy of the, it was originally once the football season started, you could not unsubscribe to the, to the football package. They have said that you can now state that you're offended.
Hey, Alan,
what?
Hardwick Clothes is from Cleveland, Tennessee.
Oh, is it Cleveland, Tennessee?
Yeah.
It was Cleveland.
Wrong Cleveland.
Well,
wrong
there's Cleveland, more than one Cleveland. Sir.
No, there isn't. Moving on.
Is it Cleveland,
just
Tennessee?
Just to clarify. Yes. Oh,
you're stepping on my punchline, though, is that...
I am so sorry.
What's hilarious is that Dish Network is saying, you know what, if you're offended by... really, who are like some of the dumbest people on the planet doing dumb things for reasons they don't even understand. Yeah. And when I say they're some of the dumbest people on the planet, like, that's not me like besmirching them. You can't blame them. Everybody knows about Rocks for Jocks. Like every college everywhere has a bunch of classes that is designed to spoon feed a bunch of athletes just so they can make whatever GPA they need to have so they can keep playing, so they can keep throwing the ball around.
Right.
Is that there are all of these people on academic scholarships at schools. Now, I mean, it's not everybody. If you're on an academic scholarship, I'm not necessarily calling you out because, hey, guess what? Like, there was a guy who was in my biology classes who was on academic scholarship
for athletic basketball. Or academic?
What?
You said academic scholarship.
Athletics.
Okay.
Athletic scholarships. Excuse me. Yeah. Yeah, he was on athletic scholarship for the basketball team. Hey, guess what? UMaine's male basketball team, men's basketball sucked. Guess what? Yeah, no, he was just a decent enough basketball player. He's probably a doctor now. I wish I remembered his last name. I'm looking him up right now to see if he was like a doctor, but he was pre-med and he was also a good basketball player, at least good, better than me, but not good as far as colleges go because he was playing for UMaine and they sucked. So I'm not saying everybody and everyone on there, but hey, guess what? Meanwhile, at my wife's school in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, the guys that were on basketball scholarships there, no, those guys weren't fucking going to class. And actually, I think there was a big scandal on the fact that no, they weren't fucking going to class. They were there just to put butts in the seats and just to do that sort of stuff. So no, these people are stupid, not because they're dumb people or there's less people. No. These people have been singled out since a very, very young age of you have a very certain set of skills that is valuable to us. And we're only interested in that skill of you. We don't need you to get smarter. We just need you to throw the ball further and run faster.
Right.
Yeah, well, this week, LeBron James, Cleveland's LeBron James, who,
Cleveland, Tennessee?
No, Cleveland, Ohio.
Cleveland, Nebraska?
No. There's a Cleveland, Texas.
Well, then why did you assume Cleveland, Ohio?
Because one does. They didn't say, they just said Cleveland. They didn't differentiate it. They didn't say, Cleveland, Tennessee.
Mm-hmm. And what if they'd said Springfield?
Well, I would assume it was Illinois.
Yeah, that's true. If you don't specify, then it's Illinois.
Yeah.
And there's, there are a bazillion.
I was thinking of The Simpsons.
Well, every state does have a Springfield. I believe every state has a Springfield. Can you confirm that, Jay?
I think it's 27 states have. It is the most common.
Yeah, well, it makes sense. But yeah, there's Springfields in almost every state. And hey, guess what? If someone says
35.
Springfield, Springfield, Massachusetts or Springfield, Maine or Springfield, Kentucky. Or all that. They'll say Springfield, Kentucky. But if they say Springfield, they're talking about Illinois.
Yeah.
And if they say Cleveland,
they're talking because about Ohio.
Evidently, most states have a Cleve.
And if you say Paris, it's the one in France. I mean, come on.
Texas.
So to be fair, what were these other Clevelands? Because to be fair, that Cleveland is not named after a land full of Cleves. It's named after Moses Cleveland.
Did you just read that off the Wikipedia entry?
No, he's family. dead serious. Dead serious. Mrs. Cleveland.
Oh my god!
No, actually,
there are some Clevelands buried in this section of Mass too.
Are you related to Moses Cleveland through marriage?
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, I was going to say that LeBron James pretty much, dissed all of Ohioans who voted for Trump, saying that all of the Ohioans who voted for Trump, he said, I don't think a lot of people was educated.
Yeah, you gotta make sure you gotta read his quote directly because
I don't think a lot of people was educated.
Mm-hmm. And he said educated on election time.
Right. Well, LeBron, bless his heart, he graduated from high school. But I believe he was like one of those people who, they loved him for his basketball skills and made sure he got his high school. I mean, LeBron was such a big deal even before he graduated from high school that, you know, it was like he had to graduate from high school. So I'm sure that they were not really correcting his grammar.
I'm sure the people, if there was a teacher that was about to give him a non-passing grade, he was visited by several people that were like,
I'm sure. Nice, and nice life you have here. That was the big deal with LeBron James, where he never played in college. He never played college ball. He just went straight, you know. Yeah.
Because if he went to college, he might have actually encountered someone who is smart.
Yeah, well,
he might have had sex with some girl who was smart.
But LeBron, you don't talk to me. Honey, don't talk to me.
It's all of those, you're an idiot. Y-O-U-R.
Yes! Yeah, oh my like gosh, have you actually seen LeBron James' Twitter?
Oh.
is it as good as Donald Trump's?
It's, what? Donald Trump is like...
Donald Trump can actually
Rhodes Scholar compared to actually Trump a Rhodes Scholar? I don't think so.
I don't know, but I think he knew Hugh Hefner, who also passed away. How's that for a segue? You like that?
I don't miss him.
I thought he was already dead.
I just like the comment about, you know, all of the Islamic extremists who are trying to get their 72 virgins had better get there quick.
Okay,
the thing I heard about Hugh Hefner, especially in his later years, he liked to be in bed with his you know, twin blondes or whatever and watch gay porn. So
wow.
Yeah.
Never knew Hef.
Yeah, y'all I heard that as well.
Want to look into that.
So just for fun, as you know, we are recording this. What is it? This is September 28th it's almost 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I went to LeBron James's Twitter feed.
What? Eastern Daylight Time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
My name's Alan.
That's eerily accurate.
And. This is, I'm just the first tweet available on his Twitter feed is, here we go, raise and shine, my people. Let's motivate one another constantly today.
She's a genius.
Hashtag strive for greatness, rocket emoji, hashtag live, laugh, love.
I want to punch everybody who says live, laugh, love.
You know what?
Just on the principle.
I
hate that.
I have a hobby.
Punching people that say live, laugh, love?
I have a hobby of one of the things I enjoy doing sometimes, and this is really, I'll just say it anyway. I like to go on like Zillow and look at houses for sale.
I've done that too.
Because it's fun. It's like a trope. I don't know where this came from, and I don't know who thought this was a good idea, but you know how people like tattoo like phrases and crap on their bodies? Mm-hmm. People are doing that shit to their houses. They're like stenciling words and phrases and crap on their walls in their house.
Oh, that's been a thing forever, though.
It's just so stupid.
Well,
people.
Unlike tattoos, you can undo that with about $8 worth of paint. Done. Hey, great.
Yeah. The great question is, like, you're about to put your house on the market. Why don't you, immediately grab the bucket of Sears White and the roller?
Right. Cover that shit up. And I can't tell you how many houses that have like purple walls and just
look
weird crap.
I am all fine that you are like the marijuana aficionado. You've got your smoking room so that you don't stink up the whole house. You just go into that room and you get so fucking baked you don't even know what day it is. But hey, guess what? Yeah, when you put the house on the market, that's when you put the hookah away and all the blacklight posters and all that. You don't have the this house goes through $1,000 worth of weed a day.
And maybe pick up some clothes off the floor before you take the pictures.
Or I wonder if this is kind of like the people that like take pictures of like, I'm selling my tea kettle on Craigslist and they're naked when they take the picture.
That's
they don't care if anyone buys the fucking tea kettle. Yeah. They just want someone to click on the ad and see their really not that impressive dick.
Yeah, that's the kink. Not the kinks. That's a different thing.
I think a lot of the public pervosity that you see is kind of like that. You know, it's like they're forcing you to look at them.
Yeah.
And they totally get off on it.
Yeah. I mean, there's whole feeds of dudes that just sit in their car and jerk off and take pictures of the women that walk by and are absolutely disgusted. And it's one of those like, wait, what happened to you as a child that made this like the end point? I don't know.
Man, this podcast is all over the place.
Yeah. All over the place.
Look, it's been an hour. Shall we end on a higher note than
people jerking off in cars?
A higher note than the weed room at the house?
Yeah. I don't know. Surely.
Yeah, Alan, I sometimes will look at like northern New England and just cry at the home prices. Oh my god.
I was googling house prices in Millinocket, Maine.
Yeah, or like, you know, upstate Wisconsin.
You know why they're low?
Because nobody wants to live there.
Yeah.
There was another one. I was googling houses in Skowhegan, aka Skowvegas.
Which is why I know we will never have teleportation.
Oh yeah.
Because you will destroy so many industries, real estate being one of the big ones.
Oh yeah. Because if you could live anywhere,
exactly. Why would you live in a city if you could step into a little box and poof?
That is the whole reason why Vermont is not only a blue state but an insanely blue state. Right. It's because it's a rural little podunk corner of the United States that really didn't have a whole universities, but yeah, but Bernie Sanders is what killed most of those. But what a thing was, it was that it was actually New York City trustafarians.
Yeah. Yep.
Didn't need to work, didn't work. So they could just go anywhere that was pretty, and Vermont's right next door. Hey, this is pretty.
Yep. Yep.
And so they started moving up there, and just like, Southern New Hampshire is insanely Massachusetts like. And Southern Maine is insanely Massachusetts-like. That's exactly why.
Didn't that happen to Connecticut, too?
New York.
Yeah, that's what I mean, the New York. I mean,
Connecticut's pretty much just New York's bitch.
Yeah.
Connecticut's like New York's toilet paper stuck to the shoe.
Connecticut is like the Bermuda of the United States. It really doesn't have its own culture. It just kind of pretends to be somebody else. Sometimes Bermuda says, "Oh no, we're totally the British. We're totally the British Isles. No, we're totally America. No, we're totally the Caribbean, man. No, you're not."
Oh man. Okay. Well, that's a good place to end.
Yeah. Don't go to Bermuda.
Yeah. Go to Puerto Rico.
It's okay, but or Puerto Rico because
that's right.
There still isn't power there. I don't think
they need ham radio operators. So.
Are you going, Alan?
No. Are you kidding me? Although my temporary boss is going there.
From what?
Because they have the company I work for has several large, very important factories in Puerto Rico.
Not anymore.
No, actually they do. They have power. They have some diesel generators running, so the factory has power. What it doesn't have is communications. So they're flying a couple of giant satellite dishes and satellite uplinks to out to Puerto Rico, and he's got to go set them off. I was like, better you than me.
Did you tell them you're a ham radio operator?
Hell no. I don't want to go to that shithole.
Did you tell them that you liked Despacito by Luis Fonsi?
It's flat. There's nothing there.
By the way, that's my daughter's current like favorite song.
What?
Which of all the things that needs to be listened to at loop on our house, Despacito by Luis Fonsi.
I don't know that one.
He's a Puerto Rican singer. It's good. It's
that's random.
A nice little Latin beat. We're talking about Puerto Rico.
Like,
and I'm hearing him singing about, like, I hear him babbling in Spanish and saying something about Puerto Rico. I hear Puerto Rico. That's
like,
a word I know.
Like Ricky Ricardo.
Lucy.
You got some splaining to do.
That's the only Puerto Rican Cuban singer I know. He's Cuban.
He's Cuban.
I thought Desi Arnaz.
Ricky Ricardo.
What is difference?
Yeah.
It's a Spanish American war.
Oh. let my provincialism shine.
All those people sound alike to Alan.
That's right.
Alan, when you were fighting in the Spanish war, were you stationed in Puerto Rico or Cuba?
Actually, you know what? It's probably safe to tell this story now because it's been so long and we actually stopped paying for it a few years ago. I was on the team that secretly attached the bomb to the bottom of the Maine and blew it up as a false total false flag operation.
Oh dear God!
From our military guy, I want to get just a quick sound blurb for the West Point commie.
I gotta think there's more going on to that story than what we know, because I think there's more going on. Guys,
to be fair, because actually I just was reading up on this guy, and so he did like most people and applied when he was in high school,
right,
and got like all the recommendation and all that, but he did not get in.
Right.
So he went into the army, he served in Afghanistan, supposedly did kind of pull a little John Kerry bullshit with combat infantry star, whatever. I didn't serve. I don't know but he got his I was in combat, you know, medal.
Right.
And then reapplied and got in.
Right.
And now his dad's like an alderman or some little like podunk, you know, local politician, and his dad's saying, "What the fuck?"
Right.
And the congressman that actually, you know, that actually gave his recommendation to West Point was like, you know, he wasn't like that when I met him.
I have a theory. And
what's your theory?
I think he's decided he doesn't want to be in the Army anymore.
Well, judging from everything that I'm reading from the Army, I think that he might get his wish.
Well, but you know, I think this is just a scam. He got his, you know, he got his degree, and I don't know, for whatever reason, and he's decided he's pulling like a Klinger. He's going to get himself thrown out, but in a way that's, he's orchestrating it such that he is an embarrassment, but not a fatal embarrassment. So he won't do jail time or anything like that. They'll just kick him out and say go.
And again, so someone else was, I forget who it was, but someone was pointing out the fact that, like, I guarantee that, like, he's already been contacted with someone for a book deal.
Oh, sure.
They're like, when you get drummed out of the army, come with us for the book deal. I mean,
oh yeah, he's going to be some leftist organization's poster boy.
I mean, Bradley Manning is getting all of this hoopla. I mean, granted, right, you know, again, you're right on that. Is Bradley Manning did some fucking dangerous ass fucking horrible shit. So he's five kinds of fucked, you know, no matter what, because yeah, you're a fucking criminal and you did horrible things and people are going to know that, even the lunatics in Harvard are like, yeah, no, we're, that crosses the line.
Well, even Canada won't let him come in.
Yeah. And you know, but this is really just the, you know, it does, you know, for those not in the military, it does border on that whole thought crime sort of idea. But of course, I mean, the morals of every story is the leftists don't understand how rights work.
Right.
on the, oh, he's got the, you know, I mean, same thing with like the football players. They've got their freedom of expression. They got their freedom of speech. He's got his freedom of speech. This is a thought crime. No, no, he's got a job. Yeah. And guess what? No, he's not going to do jail time for being a fucking commie. We don't put people in jail for being commies.
Unfortunately.
No. Well, we don't have that many jails.
No, no, no. We just got to make them good commies. That's all.
That's right. And on that note, let's go.
On that note.
Because it's 10 minutes after. Still a commie for mommy. That's right. Any last words, Rita? Are you still there?
Nope. I'm good.
Okay.
Have a good week.
Yep. Good night, internet.
We'll be back next week.
And Mike, stop listening to fucking music.
Same squirrel time, same squirrel channel.
That's right. See ya.
Okay. Good night.